Welcome to the deep dive. So if you're a parent trying to figure out this just overwhelming world of digital content, or maybe you're a journalist covering AI and education, you know things are changing.
Yeah.
Fast. Today, we're plunging into this whole revolution of personalized children's storybooks, you know, where new tech can make any child the hero of their own story instantly.
It's magical, right? I mean, when the tech can create a book where your daughter is an astronaut and she's visiting her actual grandma's garden, it's incredibly engaging.
Oh, for sure.
But that magic, it immediately brings up a huge question. Is this personalization, you know, a genuinely valuable tool for their development, for literacy, or is it just a really sophisticated, very marketable gimmick?
And that is the core of our deep dive today. We've pulled together sources, everything from these huge meta-analyses on screen time and vocabulary to really specific research on agency and empathy in stories.
Yeah, and our mission here is to cut through all that marketing hype. We want to use the hard science to figure out what really happens when a child sees themselves on the page.
So by the end of this, you'll be able to see the difference between that flood of, you know, low-value, quick AI content, the digital noise, and the really high-quality stuff.
Exactly. The media that's backed by experts and genuinely supports things like literacy, emotional intelligence, and self-esteem. We'll show you what to look for and why the adult in the room is still the most important piece of the puzzle.
Okay, so let's start with the big one. Screen time. For, what, a decade now, parents have been getting these really conflicting, often scary messages.
It's so much fear-mongering.
Right. So our first major source is a big meta-analysis. It synthesizes all this research on media use for kids from 0 to 6 and looks at how it connects to their vocabulary.
And what's so fascinating is how this analysis, I mean, it covers 63 studies, data from over 11,000 kids. It really challenges that panic.
Okay, so what did it find?
It found that when you look at all screen media together, the overall relationship with vocabulary is actually small but positive. And statistically significant. Yeah, a correlation of 0.23. So, simply put, screens are not the boogeyman we were all led to believe they were.
Not inherently, anyway.
Exactly. And get this, that positive link was there even without an adult actively involved in that moment. The screens themselves aren't just universally bad, but, and this is a huge but, the caveat is massive.
Yeah.
And it kind of drives this whole conversation about quality. It's not the quantity of exposure that matters.
It's the quality.
It is always the quality. When the researchers looked at just, you know, kids' normal exposure to general media, like a TV on in the background, they found basically no link to vocabulary. The correlation was tiny, something like 0.07.
So passive viewing is just neutral. You're not getting much out of it.
Pretty much. But if you shift to media that is specifically designed to be educational, that correlation jumps up to 0.17. The intent behind the design matters.
And this is where it gets really interesting for anyone making digital books. The study looked at experimental data too, right? Where kids were actively using different formats.
Yes, and this is the key finding. Digital ebooks, they showed the strongest positive effects of all. The correlation there was 0.30.
Wow, that's a huge difference compared to just general apps or videos.
It's a critical distinction. That leap from 0.17 to 0.30 tells you that the format of a digital book, you know, how it structures text and images into a narrative, is really, really good for learning. It's focused.
So did age make a difference? I have to assume it did.
Oh, a huge difference. The positive link between screens and vocabulary got much stronger as the kids got older. The effect was almost double for children over 36 months compared to those under 36 months.
Which makes sense. A younger toddler just doesn't have the cognitive skills yet, right? The attention span, the symbolic thinking.
Exactly. So the takeaway is that technology can be a powerful tool, but it has to be high quality and it has to be age appropriate.
Which brings us right to the problem today. The market is flooded with stuff that is neither. We need a quality filter.
And we have to be really, really clear here. The accessibility of AI has just created this tidal wave of generic, low-quality storybooks.
Right.
They're often rushed, they have no pedagogical backing, and they do not add value to a child's development. They are basically personalized noise.
And I think for a lot of parents, it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
You see that your kid's name is in the story, their hair color, and it seems amazing.
It does. But we're arguing that the technology is just an augmentation tool. The real factor for quality, the core of it, has to be the interaction between child development experts, psychologists, and the people creating the content.
So if you're a parent choosing this stuff or a developer making it, You need to look for the guardrails.
Precisely. The tech should be used to scale the delivery of a good product, not to replace the expert human thought that goes into creating it in the first place.
So what do those experts actually require for a digital book to count as high quality? What are the criteria?
Well, based on established research, the best platforms prioritize three main things. First, really thoughtful personalization. Not just names and colors, but using data ethically to individualize the actual learning experience.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, creative features, things that are open-ended, playful, and make the experience really immersive. And third, and this is often overlooked, but it's essential.
The interface itself.
Yes, yeah. A child-friendly interface. Kids' motor skills are still developing, so that means no complex menus, strong visual cues, and big, easy-to-click areas. The interface has to get out of the way so the kid can focus on the story.
Can you give us an example of a quality guardrail, like a concrete one?
A great one is story structure. High-quality products don't just let the AI write whatever it wants. They use structured, human-designed story templates that have been approved by educators.
So there's a human-made skeleton.
Exactly. And on top of that, they enforce strict vocabulary limits for different age groups. And most importantly, every single story needs final approval by a human editor or a child development specialist before it gets to you. That human oversight is the barrier. It's what stops the generic mush.
So once those guardrails are in place, what does this technology actually unlock? This takes us to the conceptual shift itself.
Right.
I love this metaphor of the me to be shift. Think about old paper maps. They were totally objective, right? They showed you how to get from point A to point B.
Detached from the user.
Totally. But today's GPS maps are me to be. They put you, the user, right at the center of the narrative. And personalized books do the exact same thing for a story.
And that completely changes the child's relationship to the text. They go from being a passive receiver to an active participant. And the research is really strong here. Good personalization improves comprehension, vocabulary, and the whole shared reading experience.
It gives them a sense of agency.
It does. By making the child the hero, you let them practice agency-making choices, being involved within a safe, structured story.
And there are different kinds of personalization, right?
Yeah, we can distinguish between two types. There's automatic personalization, where an algorithm just adapts the story in the background. It works, but it's less engaging.
And the other kind.
That's agentic personalization. That's where the reader can actively make choices, position themselves in the story, or change elements. That active role is what really deepens their connection to the narrative.
And that deeper connection, that's the pathway to empathy, isn't it? We saw a source that looked at augmented storying using an AR app.
Mm-hmm.
What did they find about the emotional side of it?
This research was really moving. It showed that when kids have the tools to tell their own personalized stories, they don't just focus on people.
What do you mean?
They started to show empathy for what they call the more than human world. They were showing cognitive empathy, affective empathy, all these different modes.
They were empathizing with what, like objects
yeah.
or nature?
Both. The anecdotes were amazing. Kids showed empathy for an AR character they created who was afraid of people. But it went further. One child was worried about the sadness of the trees if people left trash on the ground.
Whoa.
Another one described a child who saw an insect get stepped on and then later carefully lifted up a different bug that was crying. They were extending this profound sense of care to the world around them.
That's incredible. That's so much more than just learning words. That's using a story to build a real moral connection to your environment.
As powerful as all this is, though, we have to come back to the single biggest factor in all of this.
The parent.
The adult interaction. Mm. Even the absolute best personalized book is only as effective as the human guidance that comes with it.
And the science backs that up completely. One meta-analysis found that well-designed digital stories were just as good for comprehension as print books.
But only.
But only when an adult was there guiding them.
That adult scaffolding is completely non-negotiable. Technology can be a fantastic supplement. It can add new ways to interact, but it cannot replace that human mediation.
And a big part of that mediation is something called extratextual talk. Can you break that down?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just the parent connecting the world in the book to the child's actual life. So if the book has a brown dog, the parent says, "Hey, look, that dog is brown, just like grandpa's dog."
You're building a bridge.
You're taking this abstract information in the book and making it concrete and relevant. You're hooking it into what the child already knows.
We have a longitudinal study that just hammers this point home.
Yeah.
It shows that the parent's behavior is a better predictor of vocabulary growth than the child's own innate ability. I think every parent needs to hear that.
It's a fantastic finding. They followed kids from 10 to 24 months, and they found that the child's natural ability to pay attention, their joint attention, did not significantly predict how big their vocabulary would be later.
So it wasn't about how focused the baby was on their own. It was about how the parent responded.
Exactly. It was the supportive parental behaviors during reading that had a huge positive effect on vocabulary. Things like showing pleasure, responding to the baby's cues, repeating words, praising their effort, labeling things. That's the engine for learning, not the child's innate attention span.
It's the parent as an active coach.
An active coach. And it's interesting, some research shows that fathers often contribute in a really unique way here. They tend to do more of that extra textual talk and ask more challenging questions, like why questions, which are really strongly linked to vocabulary growth.
So the takeaway is that the interaction is everything. The personalized book is just a better starting point for that conversation.
It gives you a richer, more relatable world to talk about.
Okay, so let's bring this all together.
To summarize our deep dive, I'd say this. High-quality digital personalization, when it's built on real child development principles and guided by human experts, it offers a genuine, significant benefit for literacy and for emotional growth.
The future isn't about banning screens.
No, it's about being incredibly selective about what crosses that quality threshold. And that threshold is defined by the human psychologist and the human editor, not by the AI.
That conceptual shift we talked about, moving from the detached A to B text to that subjective me to B narrative, It really is profound. It changes how a child finds their place, their now, in a story.
And the ultimate success of any of these stories isn't just measured by how many new words a child learns. It's measured by how skillfully the adult helps that child use that new me to be world to understand themselves.
And their place in the bigger world.
Exactly. Does it give them the vocabulary and the sense of agency they need? That's the real test.
So the next time you're evaluating media for your child or reporting on this industry, don't just ask if it's personalized. Ask, is it high quality? Who are the human experts that built the guardrails?
Yeah.
Maybe most importantly, how does this help me have a better conversation with my child? Thank you for joining us for the deep dive.